Mary Kay Cabot covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer and joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Mary Kay, 9 days away from the start of training camp. First of all, are you ready for it?
I am definitely ready. I think anybody associated with a football team, by the time you get to this point in the offseason, we're all ready to roll, ready to see guys get in pads and get this thing underway.
And what are you looking forward to the most? I mean, there's so much change, and I know that's kind of a loaded question because you can go in so many different directions with it, but when you think about your first day here in Berea, when this team is on the field, where do you think your attention will go the most?
Well, you know what? I'm a big quarterback person, so I always look to see how the quarterback competition is going, how the starter looks when the pads start to go on and things start to speed up a little bit. So my eyes initially will be very much on Brandon Whedon. How's he picking up the new offense? How fast is he playing? Is he padding the ball anymore? How does that footwork look? And, you know, is he still going to be taking all the first-team reps? Are they going to let Jason Campbell take some, Brian Hoyer? So, like a lot of people, I think I will be very focused in on that position.
Yeah, I think you'll have a lot of company, as you said, looking at that. And I think the interesting part isn't only what Brandon does, but how he's being coached and what areas North Turner will focus on now, because we saw a fair amount of that through the offseason. And I know to some degree the early part of training camp is a review approach, but it seems to me like there's going to be a deeper, higher level of coaching going on also this summer.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, they're trying to get him to play really, really fast. And we know that Brandon has been working very hard to learn the terminology. So, you know, he's just got to get that ball out very quickly and be accurate. So, especially at this time of year when you're not getting the contact and you're not getting the rush, you know, you want to see a lot of passes completed. And they do a ton of situational work in their practices. They're very fast-paced. That's what fans will come out and see. I mean, these will not be really boring practices where you're going to see a lot of standing around. You're going to see plenty of the two-minute drill. You'll see tons of, you know, red zone and goal line and things like that. So I think you want to see a lot of completions. I think the thing that concerned me a lot about Brandon last year was just the sort of inaccuracy on the long ball. So, you know, even in these practices when they're kind of going up against guys that aren't going to tackle you or aren't going to sack you, you want to see that he's getting the ball out quickly and that he is completing a lot of passes, especially the long ones.
Yeah, I think you're right. Those deep balls, this more vertical passing game that is being put together, and that, of course, brings us to the people catching the passes for him. And if most of the attention is going to be focused on the quarterback, I would think the receivers will be a close second, and in particular Josh Gordon, because he really put on a show this offseason, which makes for a number of reasons. The fact that he's going to miss those first two games because of a suspension is unfortunate, is a huge negative, obviously, to the start of the season. But I think even more so because I think we all agreed that we were impressed with what he was doing through this offseason.
Well, you know, he was night and day, obviously, from, you know, when he showed up last year and had been out of football for so long. He came in not in great shape. His head was spinning. He didn't know the playbook. He didn't know what was going on. They kind of kept things simple for him. But you could tell that he was struggling, and there were plenty of times when we heard Pat Shurmur and the other coaches screaming at him. And, you know, now his head is in the game, and he knows where to be. He seems to really know the offense, and, you know, he's got his sea legs. So, you know, I did see a big step up, and it is incredibly unfortunate because I really thought that he was going to come out of the gate very, very strong and be a huge help to Brandon Whedon. And, you know, I do think it is a big void, and especially considering that you're playing the Ravens in week two, and that's a big division game. So it's really unfortunate that he's going to miss those games, but, you know, hopefully he can bounce back very quickly and be the player they expect him to be.
Did you feel a sense that Greg Little and Travis Benjamin were showing, at least in terms of, and again, how much we can take from these offseason workouts, but were showing that maybe a greater level of concentration, engagement on a regular basis, that your confidence level in their contributions is any higher. I mean, were you impressed, or did you come away feeling like, well, we'll see? I mean, did you? Because I've gotten different points of view on that.
Well, you know what? I actually think that that the competition between Josh Gordon and Greg Little, you know, has been good. I think that that they have a healthy little rivalry going, and I think it kind of brings out the best in them. Travis Benjamin is another player that looks just vastly different to me in his second year, just more confident, allowing his speed to kind of to really take over. Now, what he's going to have to be able to do is, get the right routes run, and they're going to put more on his plate this year, and a lot is going to be expected of everyone. Everyone has to be on point, and they all have to be playing very fast. And when you're playing very fast and the quarterback's making slight adjustments and things like that, or the receivers have to make their route adjustments versus the blitz, you know, he's going to have to do that. They're not going to just give them the easiest routes to run all the time. I think some of that happened last year with a couple of guys. But everyone's going to be expected to know exactly where to be at all times this year and to get there, you know, very, very quickly. And I have seen improvement in the whole offense because they were just so young last year all across the board.
Talking with Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And Mary Kay, the running back position, and one I want to drill into a little bit today, because yesterday we talked with Bernie Kosar about the quarterbacks and getting his thoughts on that positional look. And I want to focus on the idea here that the running back position is, we know first and foremost, it's Trent Richardson and Trent Richardson's health. I mean, those are really the other topics. If there's a short list of things we're looking at, he has vowed to be ready to go at the start of training camp. So that's the number one thing we're looking for is he over that shin strain, that lower leg thing that had been bothering him?
Well, I know he's been running. He went down to Pensacola, and he's been running with, one of his former high school coaches and mentors. And, from everything that I can tell, he seems fine, and he's doing a good job with the running program, kind of some of it on the beach there in Pensacola. And so I think that's a good sign. But I do think that it will be very important to try to keep him healthy. So if fans come out and they see occasionally, and I don't know if this is going to happen, but if they see occasionally that, you know, maybe he'll take a few reps off here or there, or maybe they'll, go a little bit easy on him, you know, I think the key is to get him not just to the season healthy, but through the season healthy. And, of course, that's always very difficult with the running back position and the pounding that they take. But, you know, there's no reason to completely beat him up early on. I would probably err a little bit on the side of caution and make sure that Montario's getting plenty of reps and Brandon Jackson and Chris Obanaya and Deion Lewis. So, no matter how good he says he's the kind of young man that is never going to want to miss a rep. He's never going to want to miss a practice. So I think they're going to have to take it upon themselves, you know, to occasionally back him off.
Right. And that's the thing. I think about his mindset. It's really this head game that we're going to talk about here with Trent, because not only does he want to be out there and he's driven to do that, this seems to be kind of forming a little bit of a chip, if not a log, on his shoulder, this concept that he might be, this idea he might be injury prone, and that he dealt with injuries last year, that it just seems to be too much of the conversation about Trent Richardson.
Yes, and he needs to block all of that out. It doesn't matter if he takes every rep in training camp. In the final analysis, no one cares about that. So he has nothing to prove in that regard. All anyone needs to see, his coaches, the fans, the opponent, is a healthy Trent Richardson, in the fourth quarter of game 16 or whatever the case may be. So, he played through all those injuries. Everyone knows now that he is an extremely tough player who will play injured. He played through broken ribs last year and didn't even tell anyone he had broken ribs. He came back, what I think was, too early from his knee scope. I just don't think that there was any rush to get him in there for the first game. I think he would have benefited tremendously from sitting out the first couple of games You know, they had Monterio, they had Chris, so they could have, you know, done that and, you know, I think been okay for the long haul. Sometimes when you have an injury that you come back too fast from, as we all know, you end up with a secondary injury or another injury. So I just don't think that they need to push it with him, and he's got to get this thought out of his head that people think he's injury prone. He needs to block all that out and just do whatever it takes to stay healthy.
So with that in mind, let's talk about the other backs in this camp. You mentioned Chris Obanaya. There's a new guy, Deion Lewis, who was brought in, former Philadelphia Eagle. You still have Monterio Hardesty here. You have Brandon Jackson here. I think that the real interest, obviously an intrigue, is going to be over who is filling that number two and that number three spot and how these guys are utilized, because they all kind of bring different things to the table. Deion Lewis seems to have that explosive feel to him, that Darren Sproles-ish type of look, that he could be utilized in some special situations. And then, you know, we know what Chris Obanaya does. We know he blocks really well, blitz pickup, and so forth. Brandon Jackson, good receiver out of the backfield. How do you see that all shaking out?
Well, you know what? I see them using these guys in a variety of ways, of course, depending upon the game plan. But when I look at it sort of just on paper, what I see is, you know, Trent being the workhorse going in. But when it comes to, you know, first and second down, particularly probably Monterio occasionally going in to spell him on those downs. And then I see, you know, some of the other guys, it remains to be seen exactly who's going to still be on the roster day one. But, you know, you see Deion Lewis and Brandon Jackson maybe more as a third down back type, and they do provide a really good change of pace. Deion Lewis was just all over the place in the 16 practices that we watched, you know, very productive, very fast and explosive. I think Brandon Jackson, you know, he does have a lot to prove, and he's got fresh legs. He hasn't played football for the most part for 2 years now, and he's really ready to go and has something to prove. So, you know, if he's able to stick around, you know, and make this team, I think he can make a contribution, particularly on third down. And this is a team that really highly values third down. We have seen that. They're very big about third down, you know, just from an analytic standpoint and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why they traded for a Devon Best. So if you can have a guy that can convert those downs, they put a premium on that. And then Chris can do so many different things, including, I would think, play some fullback. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, and you brought up fullback Owen Marisic, a name that a lot of Browns fans, when you bring it up, you get the groan or the you know, the eyes rolling, just the idea that, you know, can't they do something better at the fullback position? And people still clamor to have that guy here. I mean, I think the reality is, as we stand here 9 days before the start of training camp, that the fullback situation is what it is now and probably won't change, and that, as you point out, it'll be a matter of multitasking, right, by players like Chris Obanaya.
Yes, and you know what, and you know, everyone, of course, remembers, you know, the dropped passes on the part of Owen Marisic, and then he, you know, lost his job at a certain point last year. And so, you know, he's got to, you know, step up and show that he deserves a spot on this team. And, you know, if not, they will have, you know, other options there, you know, and they, you know, they might just decide not to go with an Owen Marisic or a true, you know, pure fullback and use, you know, Chris more in that role. Or maybe they put, you know, maybe they use more of a Monterio and Trent together. Or, you know, there's just a lot of different combinations that you can use with the backs that they have. And I think it'll be very important to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. And a number of them, I think, do that very well, including Trent, obviously. So I think they'll be utilized heavily in the passing game. I think you'll see a lot of mixing and matching going on.
Yeah, I think that's the under-discussed part of this Norv Turner-Rob Chudzinski scheme, is that the back does have an important role. I mean, we think about passing and long developing plays, vertical, throw it downfield, attack, attack, attack. But the running game has a big presence in it.
It definitely does. I mean, you know, you think of these guys and you think of that vertical scheme and you almost forget that Norv Turner has produced the rushing champion on five different occasions with three different running backs. So I know that Trent is very, very excited hearing about that, and I know that he's, you know, talked to at least one of them. He's talked to a couple of those guys, in Emmett Smith and LaDainian Tomlinson. So North and Rob, they feature, you know, they will feature a very power running game, which, you know, fans still here in the AFC North and in Cleveland, I mean, fans still like to see that, even though it is a passing league now. So, you know, it will be pass first, but they are not going to forget about running the football, especially in maybe some of those later cold weather games and things like that. So I think that, you know, fans who just are counting on Trent Richardson for a big season will probably be satisfied.
Well, Mary Kay, it's almost upon us. 9 days and counting, and we'll be here in Berea checking it all out. And thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, Vic.
All right, Mary Kay Cabot, she covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. And there is much more ahead on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.